look to you, Lord, your love that never ends, restore me again. So I live my to you, Lord, in your strength will I praise you. Let your love fall down on me. I know your love disturbs all my fears. Through the storm I live, oh Lord, and by faith I will walk on.
Exodus chapter 5 and 10 through 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, 'I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord.'" Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage.
Thank you. of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. You are my supply, my breath of life. Still more awesome than I know. You are my reward, worth living for. Still more awesome than I know, and all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. You're my sacrifice of greatest price. Still more awesome than I know. You're my coming King. You are everything. Still more awesome than I know. And all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you, more than all I want, more than all I need. You are more than enough for me, more than all I know, more than all I can see. You are more than enough, and all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. This morning, if we could look at Exodus, we're going to look at chapters 5 through 10, so I hope you're a speed reader. If you'll turn there, it might help you. I don't know, with that much material to read, you might be reading and not listening to me, listening to the Lord, maybe, which would be better. So go ahead and read if you'd like. But this morning, I want to share with you another message from the book of Exodus, and the title that I've given to this series is The Way Out, because it's really what the book of word Exodus means. Exodus is a Greek word, and it means the way out. There's no "the" on it, So it's just way out. But if you say way out, nobody will really understand that. It'll be way out probably, but in a different sense. So if we could look there at the passage. Actually, the passage that Brother Curtis read was just a kind of a sampling of the whole section here on the plagues. And I may have misspoke if you've heard me say that there were seven plagues. I was wrong. There are not seven, there are ten. So some of you already knew that, and you probably just didn't want to correct me from where you sit. But there are ten plagues. There were only seven in the book of Revelation. But there are some strong resemblances between these plagues and the plagues of the book of Revelation. And you say, well, what is the connection there? Well, I think the connection is what we are told in the Bible about what's going to happen next in God's plan. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 17 and 18, we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air when He comes. He's not ready yet, but He may be before we're done here this morning. It could happen at any moment. But we need to be ready because He's going to call us out. And then the plagues that are mentioned, the plagues in the book of Revelation, I'm going to have a list on the website. I hope I don't have it on the PowerPoint this morning, but I'm going to put a list, Lord willing, on the website about with the comparison of the plagues here with the plagues in the book of Revelation. And I think it's because, why it's important is because I really believe that God is getting us ready for that next great event. That next time, really the next event on God's prophetic timetable, when Jesus calls us upward, calls us out of this world, and then the plagues that are written about in the book of Revelation are going to descend upon the earth. Now, I know it's some would say, well, that's escapism. And I would say, well, yeah, good. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here when all these terrible things. I mean, it's bad enough now, isn't it? But it's going to get a lot worse, believe me. When God takes His church out, the Holy Spirit will go with the church. Now, the Spirit will still be here because God is omnipresent. It's going to be terrible on this earth. You don't want to be here. And I think that's the whole point of what God is saying, not only in the book of Revelation, but throughout His Word. He's trying to get us ready, trying to help us to think about what He is doing. He not only wants to take us out, but He wants us to bring others with us on that journey, that upward journey. We sang, I'm traveling on the upward way. I think, didn't we sing that? New heights I'm gaining every day. Well, you know, that's not necessarily always true. Sometimes we have those dips. And, you know, we do, all of us, sometimes backslide. But we need to be on that upward way because one day God is going to call us out of this world. And we need to be ready. That's really what Exodus means. Way out. The way out. So, if we could look at our scripture passage here, we're going to look at some lessons of the plagues. And I wondered how I was going to deal with these. I wondered am I going to try to preach on each plague? I didn't want to spend 7 weeks on the plagues. I mean, 10 weeks. There are 10 of them. I keep thinking there are only 7. So, I'm going to kind of treat them topically, and I hope this is all right. You're welcome to search the scriptures to find out if what I'm saying is true, and you may disagree, and that's fine. If you're in agreement with the Word of God, you're in a better place. And hopefully what I'm sharing with you is what God wants me to share regarding these plagues. First of all, their purpose. What is the purpose of the plagues? Now, there are 10 of them, and I want to just briefly summarize what the plagues are. The plague number one is the water turned to blood. You may remember that, how Moses turned the water of the Nile to blood. I don't think I'd want to drink blood. Any vampires here? Don't see any. So you probably don't like blood either. But you can imagine that problems that created. They had to dig around the Nile to get water. But very appropriate. All of these plagues are very appropriate. This was a a wicked civilization, the Egyptian civilization at that time. And they were oppressing God's people. They were killing God's people, really. They were persecuting God's people. I'm talking about the Israelites, of course. And so God gave them blood to drink. We read that in the book of Revelation, in the plagues in the book of Revelation. I'll just mention it in the second and third plagues of Revelation 16. God gave the people blood to drink, turned the rivers and the sea into blood. Again, you don't want to be here for that event. It's not that way yet. I know we have global warming, right? And a lot of pollution. But we don't have blood to drink yet. So this is yet coming. Now, I don't think the Israelites had to drink blood. They were protected from all of these plagues. Again, it speaks of how God is going to call us out. In the book of Revelation and the letters to the seven churches, I'm sharing from the book of Revelation again on Sunday night if you'd like to come. I know there's maybe a slight scheduling conflict with you today, but you're welcome to come at 6 o'clock if you'd like. Oh, I thought about going, you know, extra hours today to cover all of the seven plagues, but I thought I better not. Thought it wouldn't be a good day for that, so I'm going to try to hold it to an hour, you know, until whatever my usual time is, 20 minutes hopefully. Where were we? Oh, the purpose, punitive. Well, God is angry with the wicked. God has to judge evil because God is a holy God. And so God brought these plagues upon Egypt, partly to punish Egypt, but I think also probative, to find out what was in man's heart. I think it's true of all of God's judgments. He wanted to find out what was in the heart of Pharaoh, what was in the heart of the people of Egypt, and even in the heart of the Israelites. God tries us, the Bible says, that we might come forth as gold. That's the purpose. But sometimes, if we're not, and in fact, if we are not, if there is not a change in our lives, if we are not new creatures in Christ, we're going to be destroyed by God's judgment. That's really what hell is. It's an eternal destruction. And God is calling us out. He doesn't want us to go to that place. And so, like the Israelites of old, the Bible says that Jesus is the captain of our salvation, and He has called us out, called us to live in the world, certainly. We are not to share in the judgments, the fiery judgments that are going to come upon this earth. Now, one day in the past, God destroyed this world by a flood, we're told in the Bible. But in the future, in a future time, we don't know when it'll be. I think it'll be soon. God is going to destroy the world in fire. We don't want to be here. So God is calling us out, getting ready, helping us to get ready. And the Bible has made it clear where that path lies. It says there is salvation by no other name than the name of Jesus. So make your peace with God through trusting Jesus before these judgments descend upon the earth. Again, we're looking at the book of Exodus, what the judgments mean. They're punitive, they're probative, they're purgative. Now, purgative means that God allows trials to come upon the earth to bring us to repentance. I have to believe that our God is the same as the God of the Exodus. And the Bible says that He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I believe that among the Egyptians there were those who came to faith, because we're told how they helped the Israelite people when they were ready, when God was ready, when the conditions were ready to lead them out of Egypt. Now, you may be going through some very great trials in your life. One thing you know for certain, or you can know if you will read the Bible and understand it correctly, is that God loves you. That God is not willing that any should perish, but that you should come to repentance. And if there are trials in your life, some of the trials that we face are just a part of being in this world. Jesus said we would have tribulation in this world. But there are also those trials sometimes that I believe God allows us to go through to bring us to repentance, to bring us to faith in Jesus. And I believe that that's the purpose here. And certainly, if you want to add another P there to this pea salad that I've given you this morning, power, to show God's power, to show that God is more powerful than the problems that we may have to face in this world, and to put our trust in this powerful God. Jesus said nothing is too hard for Him. And so just turn over your problems, your trials to Him, and know that He is able to do exceeding abundantly, the Bible says, above all that we ask or think. So the purpose of the trials, we can learn from also their performance. How do these plagues come about? Well, and what can we learn about them? Well, there's a progression here. They're progressive. From bad to worse. Blood, I mean, that's pretty bad. But they found a way that they could drink water, and I suppose if they had to, they could. I mean, we have polluted water too. So they, when God brought this first trial upon them, I'm speaking of the Egyptian people, they figured out a way to get the water that they needed. And they didn't even think about it, apparently, of repenting. I don't know that any repented at this time. Maybe they did. But there was a progression here. The frogs. That was the second plague. Now, frogs are kind of cute, I think. I used to carry one in my pocket when I was a kid. But I wouldn't want to have frogs everywhere in the house. They said even in the kneading trough, so I suppose they ate frog bread. It wasn't what they wanted, I'm sure. I'm sure it was a little green to start with and got greener over time. Gnats, again, these were progressive. Gnats, flies, livestock die. That's the fifth plague. Boils on people. Hail, plague seven. This was a hail so bad it ruined the country. It was mostly an agricultural area. And it just totally destroyed all of the crops. They were already in pretty bad shape economically. And then plague eight was the locusts. The locusts came and ate what the hail didn't destroy. Then darkness, a darkness that could be felt, descended upon Egypt. That was plague nine. And then plague ten, the death of the firstborn. When Pharaoh's firstborn died, he did relent. He let the Israelites go. We're going to look more at that next week, I trust. But there's a progression here. God didn't really intend that they get that far, except that He knew. God knows. He had a purpose, though, and that purpose was progressive. It was protective. He protected His own people during these plagues. Again, I want to encourage you to find the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him, and He will protect you from these plagues that He's going to bring upon the unbelieving world. Do you remember the lesson of Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible? How God rained down fire upon this very degenerate culture, cities of the plain. I think it was a very beautiful place at the time. Because of their corruption, because they had disregarded the law that God had wrote in the human heart about morality, and they had become sodomites. We know what sodomites are today. Well, there is a lesson. There are lessons here for us, abundant lessons. God is calling us out of this world because I think it can't be reformed. I think we're deluding ourselves and thinking that the world can be reformed. Now, certainly, we need to do all in our power to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and to also seek peace, the Bible says, and to pursue it. And we are to be law-respecting people. We are to seek the good of the country where God has placed us. We are to be patriotic. And we're to pray for our nation and seek revival, all of these things. But realizing at the same time that the time is going to come, because the Bible tells us that it will be like in the days of Noah. And people will be so evil. The Bible says that in that time, the hearts and thoughts of man were only evil continually. And God is going to have to bring judgment upon this earth. We know it. It's told us in the Scriptures. And so we need to be ready. We need to be ready ourselves. And then we need to get our families and our loved ones and friends and everyone that we can ready to win them to Jesus Christ before it's too late. To find them that ark of safety and faith in Jesus Christ. So it's protective. It's productive, their performance. It had its purpose. It fulfilled its purpose. It brought about the, first of all, the judgment that God needed to bring upon the wicked, and the repentance that I know that he sought in that, in the judgments that he brought upon the earth. And the Bible, in fact, tells us that during that terrible time of tribulation that is going to come upon the earth, there will be many who will be saved. I wouldn't even say in spite of the judgments, probably because of them. And so we need to realize that God and his purposes, we don't understand all of them, but we know that God is love, the Bible tells us, and we know it because he sent his Son, Jesus, to die for us on the cross, and that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So they are productive. God's purposes are going to ripen fast. Even though they may seem to take too much time, God is the author of time. So let's let him work. Let's let him have his will, and let's yield to his will. There's another lesson here besides the purpose of the plagues, the performance, their profit. How do we profit from studying these plagues of the book of Exodus? Well, first of all, I think that they are predictive. God is the same, the Bible says. Jesus Christ is God. And the Bible says he is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so what God did in the past, he's going to do again. And we read about it in the book of Revelation. Very similar. They are predictive of what God is going to do. And so again, the message comes to us, let's be ready. Let's be living for him. Let's live righteous lives. Now, that doesn't mean perfect lives. But to put it, lay aside, the Bible says, every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And run with patience the race that is set before us. Walking in faith, living by faith, and transparent before others. When we do fail, as we're going to fail, to be transparent about it, and to admit our faults to not only one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, but to people in the world who may think that we're just, you know, holier than thou, self-righteous hypocrites. Predictive. Preventative. God wants us to prevent judgment upon us. And ultimately, there's going to come that ultimate judgment upon the wicked. So far as we know, Pharaoh's in hell. I don't see any sign that he repented. And it seemed like he died in the pursuit of the Israelites in the water, the waters of the Red Sea. And God wants to prevent us from going that way of unbelief, that hard-heartedness. Now, Pharaoh was a member of another religion. They had a different culture, you know, something. We know probably more about the ancient Egyptians than we do about a lot of other cultures. One thing we know, that they were pagan, really evil. Followed an evil religion. It was a religion of their own devising. And that's always dangerous. The Bible says if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And God wants to prevent us from falling under his judgment. Because again, God is a holy God and he has to judge evil. Preventative, preservative. We can learn about the preservation of God's people here. How God called his people out of Egypt. He's getting us ready. For that time, the Bible says, we will hear the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and he will call us upward. And may we be ready. Would you be ready? Would you make your peace with God before these judgments descend upon the earth again? He loves you. He's not willing that you should perish, but that you would come to repentance and to faith in the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you trust him today?